So Sassy Vise joining us on UKCountryRadio.com. Hi there, Sassy.
Hello, Marilyn.
Welcome to the show. We've been playing your debut single, Slow Dance, and it's been doing really well for you, hasn't it?
Oh, thank you, Alan. That's kind.
Lots of airplay around the world, as well as here in the UK, I understand.
Yeah, it's really been received well in the USA.
And it's even made it into kind of the charts that compile, looking at how radio stations are playing the song. So you must be pretty pleased with that.
I am, because we all need something to look forward to in our strange life as we know it as today, in the last year, off and on. So, to actually do this global radio promotion, which obviously, incidentally, I've never done before anyway, and I decided to do it, to give myself a boost as well and to keep things moving. So I decided to do a debut, global radio debut campaign on Slow Dance in the USA.
Fantastic. And as I say, it's been doing really, really well for you. Let's find out a little bit more about you, Sassy Vise, because it says here that your influences include Shania Twain and Olivia Newton-John, two very different artists. Let's start with Olivia Newton-John. Why do you cite Olivia as one of your influences?
Well, Olivia, not only is she wonderful as a person, she's also wonderful in the sense of writing her own songs, forming long-term friendships with people. That when Olivia makes a friend of a friend forever, which I like to follow people, that are kind and gentle, and they want to help the world and they want to help other people. And I feel that Olivia Newton-John's nature, and she's written all her own stuff, and obviously she does co-write as well. And Olivia's voice, I just love it. Just think it's just wonderful. And I know that you like Olivia Newton-John. I know that you really like Hope. You join me in the celebration of Hopelessly Devoted to You, don't you?
What a lovely song. Absolutely fantastic. And like you say, she's one of those people who's got a great voice. So she's a great singer, but also a real genuine person as well. So I think I'd share your admiration for Olivia Newton-John. Yeah. How about Shania Twain, another one of your big influences? In fact, I think you previously, in a previous life, did some Shania Twain tribute work.
I did. Now, I started as a bedroom singer, as most of us do. And for me, I never thought I could really sing. And I just started singing all Shania Twain's Come On Over album, because I didn't know about Shania Twain in the earlier years when she was doing a first song that she brought out was What Made You Say That. And she had a midriff showing the video on the ranch with the horses, and it wasn't received too well, but it actually was the break that broke her it actually broke her out, actually.
It was the one that stood her apart from the rest, wasn't it, really? Yeah,
it was a lot to do with that, yes. And Shania, because also she was a brunette, and also she had a more mezzo-soprano voice, which is what my voice is. And Olivia Newton-John obviously is soprano. So when I was soprano, sorry. And so when I was trying to sing Olivia, I used to, as my late daddy would say, Olivia Newton Bob, squeak box. And I said, no, you can't say that, because, obviously I am her number one fan, and Olivia is first and Shania is second. And obviously Shania Twain was a brunette, mezzo-soprano, so it was more on my thing that I could actually do.
Yeah, I can see why she inspired you, absolutely. Let's get back to talking about your music, though, Sassy VZ, because as we mentioned, we've just had the debut single from you, Slow Dance, and I understand there is an album to follow, perhaps later on this year.
Yeah, I see. Even though it was recorded December in Nashville 19, I've already mixed, working on the new Hometown Ghost Town mix, which is about my own hometown. And I'm talking with my management, which is eMusic Release in the States, in Florida, actually. And we're discussing to release the album in the summer.
Which is fantastic.
I said to him last night, though, I'd rather release it at the end of the year because I want to make so many changes to it. And he says, and he, you know, I want to remix them all. I want to redo them all. And he disagrees. So, not disagrees. He wavers on a few of the songs and a few of the songs not to be touched and a few of the songs to be touched. So, you know, there is like a...
Still some discussion going on.
Yeah. You know, between the songs at the moment. But
it's important to do that, isn't it, though? It's important to, you know, to keep going back and keep listening and until everybody's satisfied. Because once you do put the album out there, it's out there and you can't make any changes after that, really, can you?
Well, you know what they say, don't you? One chance saloon.
Well, yes, some of us have been living in that for some time, Sassy, I can tell you. But yeah, One Chance Saloon. That's a good one. You mentioned that the album, or the bulk of the album, was recorded in Nashville. What was that like as a process? Because they have some great musicians over there, don't they?
Oh, I mean, believe it or not, I can, what's the saying,
hind leg off a donkey. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I know all the sayings, but I sometimes get them back to front.
Well, I think when you get them back to front, they're even better sayings. You know, if you want to top the hind donkey off a leg, then that's even better.
Oh, that's so funny. And because I am a bit of a sayings girl, but I don't know, I should be a Londoner, really, because, you know, they like their sayings, don't they? But we have our own sayings up north, don't we?
How did these sayings go down then in the studio in Nashville?
Oh, well, one conversation was about my nice shoes.
I bet that was a long conversation, knowing you.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I was sat... All my musicians, there were seven musicians, so it was on the first day, so you can imagine, I was all dressed up with a fancy lacy chiffon-y type blouse on with a stilettos on, you know, stilettos on. Bobby Dazzler walking down, getting to the studio.
I bet when you walked in that studio in Nashville, they'd never seen anything like it.
Well,
and I tell you what, it's like you said, though, isn't it? Like with Shania Twain, you've got to make your mark.
Well, every single day them stilettos were on, I can tell you. Because, I mean, my co-writer, who also produced this album, Stephen Wrench, we'll talk about him in a sec. He actually said, Saskia, why don't you wear your trainers? And I said, well, I'm actually more comfortable in stilettos.
That sounds like a title for a song, is that? More comfortable in stilettos.
But, yeah.
Never mind the shoes. What was the recording process like then? How did you find that?
Oh, well, I was lost for words, believe it or not.
Surely
not. I was, yeah. Believe it or not. To be or not to be, to not to be not. Yes. I was actually put it this way: Miranda Lambert, Blake Shelton, Shania Twain, Dolly Parton, you know, Carrie Underwood, every single most country artists, famous country artists, record in the studio that I was at, right? So I was like a little bit dumbfounded, to be honest. And one guy, Glenn Duncan, he was just recently on the BBC talking about Tennessee country music. And he said to me that hometown ghost town, he says, where you're stood now, he says, Shania Twain was stood right there when I said the same thing to her, when I said, Honey, I'm Home is going to be a hit. And Honey, I'm Home, and I had a hard day. You know that one,
I know
you?
The one, yeah.
Yeah, well, that one, it was a hit.
It was, so he was right. If he was right that time, he's going to be right this time with Hometown Ghost
Town. Well, you never know, It's not. Well, put it this way. I see him as a legend because he even though the album was produced by Stephen Wrench, the whole album was composed by Glenn Duncan, actually. Mm. Well, and he played guitar, piano, anything that he thought, banjo, violin, cello, whatever he thought needed to go on that album, went on that album.
He's a multi-talented guy, and he is one of Nashville's top musicians. But, you know, you mentioned Stephen Wrench there, who has a great background, doesn't he? He was in Lynyrd Skynyrd, I think, and he's very well respected in the music industry.
He is. Stephen Wrench is a dear friend of mine now, actually. I actually went to Florida, and I actually went to stay with him and his wife. And I met his grandchildren and everything. And, I'm telling you now, his wife can really cook. She really can. And so for the first week in Florida, we was going over the acoustic versions of the songs. And then a week later, we went to Nashville together, me, Stephen Wrench. And we went to the studio together where he fully produced the album as well. And obviously, we co-written the album together. So, yeah, he's actually in the Rock Hall of Fame, Stephen Wrench.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because, you know, if you've got an album produced by Stephen Wrench with some of the musicians you've mentioned on it, it's going to be great. And I know you've got some deliberating still to do over some of the songs, but hopefully we will get to hear it later on this year. I think you have some plans, and you've mentioned it a couple of times, to perhaps release this Hometown Ghost Town as a single before the album comes out. So that'll be exciting to get some new music from you sometime soon. But Hometown Ghost Town, I'm intrigued by the title. Tell us where that comes from.
Hometown Ghost Town, it just came to me straight away because I was sat there in my home, near my hometown at the time, having gone through like a severe crisis.
It was a difficult time for you, didn't it? Well, you know, we've mentioned it on the air that, you know, you went through a period where you lost both of your parents in fairly quick succession, didn't you? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. So I lost both parents within 2.5 months of each other. Straight after losing my mom, I was writing a lot of stories, and I was writing pages and pages and pages of stories. I just didn't stop writing day and night. And then at night time, I would get in the hot tub and I'd be recording songs like on my phone all night, every night. I was just like, my head was in like words and lyrics and songs and stories trying to make some kind of sense of it, you know.
Well, people say this is a common thing, you know. There's nothing like a trauma to inspire great songwriting.
Yeah, well, that...
Although I love the way you wrote it in the hot tub in the middle of the night. I like the sound of that. That's a very sassy Vise thing to do.
It is, actually, yeah. And I do the written work in the day, and then I do the hot tub sessions in the night.
The hot tub sessions, you've got something there. that could be a whole new concert series.
Do you know, I was actually thinking of doing that, to be honest. I was actually thinking of doing some hot tub recording music sessions, which I think that'd go down pretty well.
Yes.
But I haven't actually got myself a cowgirl swimming costume yet. I'm working on it. I've got a princess one with all the princesses on, and it's red, black and white. But yeah.
And you'd still have the stiletto once on, wouldn't you, in the hot tub?
I'm not sure about that. I think I'd puncture it.
Yes, quite possibly. Yeah, don't do that one. It's a bad idea.
No, so what I did was I got on the phone to Stephen Wrench.
Yeah.
And we basically, for 3 months, deliberated the co-writing over the phone in England for 3 months. And then I went to Nashville.
Yeah.
Because, and the reason why Hometown Ghost Town was written, and which probably is the strongest song, is because of its heart-wrenching details, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously the chorus states with the bridge, and it says, get me out of here so I can get a life. Staying here cuts into me like a knife. Nothing's going to happen here, that's for sure. World is my oyster. There's a cure. And obviously with those words as they was put, obviously Stephen Wrench helped me put them into, you know, expertise songwriting way, how he does things. Mm-hmm. And that's how the song was pulled together. And Stephen Wrench loves that song, really, really loves that song.
Well, you've got Stephen Wrench loving the song. You've also got the musician Glenn Duncan, very credible, two very credible people saying that's a great song. When are we going to get to hear it, Sassy? When can we play it on ukcountryradio.com?
Well, I had a conversation last night with management, and they said... we're still on the slow dance campaign at the moment, because we've started a second campaign now, because the first one we've had about over 4,000 plays, and obviously you've had it on a lot of play as well, so that's probably taking it up to about 5,000, but it's like 4,000 in the USA on country radio, which has taken it to the top 100 in the USA country chart, which obviously that, with that in mind, it's actually now in the top 100 independent country chart in the USA for the DRT, which is all the real good country stations that are reporting stations. You know, royalty as well. Yeah. They pay royalties as well.
So you've got to get the timings right on these things, haven't you? So I think what you're saying is, you know, let Slow Dance do a bit more business, really, and build some more momentum. And probably the way it works is once that just starts to tail off a little bit, that's when to come in with that follow-up song, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because my manager and a few other people think Hometown Ghost Town, because it's a little gem, you know, of how it was written in the circumstances it was written. And what's so kind of strange about it was, I wrote it in October 2019, which I didn't even know anything about the pandemic then, but if you listen to like a lot of the words, it is very like related to now. Yeah, actually
that's good. So it kind of takes on a new meaning in the context of the current pandemic that's going on.
Yeah, it will be a new meaning for, because we've had several great country artists we've lost in this hard time as well, and I didn't know we'd lost that, you know, Sir Tom,
Captain Sir Tom Moore. Yeah,
yeah, we lost him, didn't we?
We did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really sad. Bless him.
It's going to be a thought-provoking song then, isn't it, when it comes out by the sounds of it, and hopefully not too long.
Yeah, like I say, we was in talks last night, and we think it might be the end of April, I think.
End of April, right. I'll put it in my diary, Sassy, and I'll expect you to send us the song, and we'll get it played for you.
Or it might be the beginning of April.
Oh, even better.
Just got to see.
I think we should have the world exclusive, you know.
Yeah.
I was a very non-committal year. You'll have to run it by the management.
Well, I'm prepared to come on and sing it live with you. You can play piano like you did at the awards.
Yes, I have played for piano for you in the past, haven't I? Yeah, yeah, I remember
We played slow dance.
We did a very unique piano-based version of it, didn't we?
We did. So I'd love to. For me and you to do Hometown Ghost Town, that would be, I think that would be a really special thing to do.
I'm sure there'll be an opportunity once this pandemic's over. Sassy, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you for spending some time with us. We'll keep playing Slow Dance and look forward to Hometown Ghost Town and the album later in the year.
Yay.